is The Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Two venues are opening this week at Park MGM, one of them a brand new bar and nightlife spot, and the other a quick renovation of the property's sports bar. I got a sneak peek at both earlier this week. But before I share those details, let's talk about SLS, because I just stopped in at the North Strip Resort that is transitioning into Sahara Las Vegas, and it is in full construction mode. Months ago, there were chunks of the casino closed down for renovations. That part is finished. It looks great. And now pretty much the entire southwestern wing of SLS is walled up as construction continues. This is largely the lobby area and what was the South Valet that I'm talking about. The Perk coffee shop, the Monkey Bar that was just across from check-in, and the kind of sundry gift shop are still open as of now. But other than those, it's just a narrow walkway to get to the South Tower Hotel elevators. Meanwhile, just off that sparkly new main casino floor, there are new things and newly closed things. The Infinity High Limit Lounge is now open. It also looks great. This is the space formerly occupied by Katsuya, the sushi and Japanese restaurant that opened with SLS in 2014. The Infinity Lounge has baccarat, roulette, six-deck shoe and double-deck blackjack, five bar-top poker machines, and 40 gaming machines, premium gaming machines, as well as a 24-hour bar with specialty cocktails. The bad news is that Clio has closed this week. The Mediterranean restaurant by Chef Danny Elmalay that also arrived when SLS opened 5 years ago. Clio was one of my favorite restaurants, and it served a style of cuisine that's just not easy to find on the Strip these days. It was also pretty affordable and, something of a local's favorite for that reason. Really good, though. I'm going to miss it. Not sure what will take its place. I've heard a bit of chatter of an Italian restaurant or a pizza concept moving into that spot, but nothing super solid. And then in the nightlife and entertainment realm, SLS has very quickly renamed two venues. The Sayers Club is now called Club 101, and it's going to operate as a nightclub with free admission Friday and Saturday starting at 9:30 p.m., It's offering Sky Vodka bottle service for $101, which might be the cheapest bottle service rate you can find on the Strip, even if it is still too much for Sky Vodka. Anyways, there's also DJ music and a patio. Eddie Griffin is still doing stand-up comedy in that room Monday through Wednesday at 8 p.m. I've heard some talk of possibly a small musical show of some sort taking up in the new Club 101. But if they're going to do the club stuff Fridays and Saturdays, that certainly leaves room for other programming. So keep your eye on that spot. The new, still new residency show at SLS, Blanc de Blanc, is in the rechristened Blanc de Blanc Theater. That's the room just across the way that used to be called The Foundry. Before that, it was Life Nightclub. So it sounds like that will no longer be kind of a multi-purpose room, and we'll just stay focused on that show, which I haven't seen yet, but really want to check out and plan to do so very soon. In other sudden casino rebranding news, Hooters is becoming Oyo. As reported this week by The Sun and Vegas Inc., the Hooters Casino, located on Tropicana Avenue just east of the Strip, has been sold to the India-based company Oyo, or OYO, however you say it, I'm not sure, and it will be rebranded by the end of this year. It's got 19 floors, 657 rooms, and a 35,000-square-foot casino, which will continue to be managed by local Paragon Gaming Company. I think it's safe to assume that the Hooters restaurant inside will transform into something else, but, you know, the world's largest Steak and Shake burger diner opened at the Hooters Casino last year, so unclear whether that venue will remain. Seems unlikely. I guess this is kind of a low point for the Hooters brand in Las Vegas. There's still a few standalone bar restaurant locations around town, but used to be much more prominent. There was a Hooters in the Sunset Station Casino in Henderson, for example, and let us not forget the world's largest Hooters was in the Palms for 2 years and closed in 2017 after Station Casinos acquired it and started renovating. That's the space where Green Street Kitchen is now. Okay, on to Mama Rabbit, which is the name of the super cool new bar at Park MGM. It officially opens tonight, Wednesday the 28th. It's sort of sandwiched between the On the Record nightclub and the Best Friend restaurant, both very popular newish night spots on the Strip. And it is a creation of MGM Resorts working with Bricia Lopez, the James Beard award-winning restaurateur and bar owner from Los Angeles. Her father opened Gualeguetza, a Oaxacan restaurant in L.A. in 1994, and that regionally specific cultural influence is a big part of Mama Rabbit, which emphasizes mezcal and tequila cocktails, serves a menu of small bites, including some of the best guacamole I've ever tasted, and it's also going to offer live music and DJs and gambling with a few tables and machines well woven into the design. It's a really cool layout. Kind of completes the little LA corner at Park MGM, and I think it's going to be a big hit. There's this huge, brightly colored mural by Okuda San Miguel called Mother Natura right when you walk in, flanked by these amazing animal statue slot machines, and everybody's going to be taking pictures of this stuff and posting them all over social media. I tried to find a quiet spot to talk to Bricia Lopez about putting this venue together with MGM Resorts, getting advice from Roy Choi, and why Las Vegas has always been such a special place for her family.
Believe it or not, the first contact that I had with MGM, where they reached out to me through the design agency, was in August of last year. So super fast, you know, from the first time that I ever heard. I was actually in Oaxaca when I got the email. And it was just a very, you know, secret project that was happening inside Park MGM that had to do with tequila. Pretty much is all it was. And they was like it had kind of like a code word for the project at that point. And, you know, we got on the phone, we started conversing about, you know, what that would look like and what, you know, what I would bring to the table. You know, a lot of just things that we talked about. And, you know, they became official around November, December. So if you think about that too, whatever month we're on today, like,
I don't know,
super fast, August,
yeah,
September, you say so.
26, yeah,
August, September, you know, it's really fast, but,
yeah,
you know, Vegas moves really, really fast, and I've never worked in any sort of corporate environment. I've always worked in a family business, so I'm learning so much,
yeah,
from every person in the team, you know, from the PR team, to the operations team, to the management team, to the corp team. Like, they all have been so amazing, and I'm learning so much from them, and I'm just thankful to be here. And, you know, construction, you know, it's like so fast in Vegas. I am very great friends with Roy Choi and his team and Natasha. And Natasha told me, girl, I went to Vegas week one, and week two, the restaurant was almost finished. And in LA, you know, to build a restaurant takes 2 years because there's so many things, that Vegas is Vegas, you know? And amazing.
What was your, I guess, understanding of Las Vegas before this? Did you come to Vegas a lot to have fun? Did you come to Vegas for other reasons?
My Vegas story is very emotional for me, because I used to come to Vegas with my family since I was 15 years old. We were an immigrant family, and we were, at that time, when we started coming to Vegas, we were undocumented, so we really couldn't travel the world. Like, we couldn't even leave the state. My parents wouldn't even want to drive to San Diego because you could drive through a checkpoint. So, you know, Vegas is only the only place that we could drive to, and in a sense, experience the world. In a sense, be in Paris, or drive the gondola in Venice, or, you know, go through the Aladdin. Back then, the Aladdin was still around. And you can look at the sky and you felt like you were, you know, somewhere in Middle East. Or you go to Egypt and the Luxor and the pyramids, you know. Or you can go to New York because you couldn't afford to fly to New York. So this was all luxury for us. This was, you know, we weren't luxurious by any means. You know, back then, you would start in Mandalay Bay and you would walk all the way to, you know, on the Strip and, you know, see every place and walk through every casino and eat at a buffet and, you know, and, like, stuff food in your purse because later you can eat it. Like, that was us. So that was my experience in Vegas, but it's, like, my parents love to come to Vegas. It's the only place they could come. And it was, I think it was sort of like the epitome of the world and what luxury was. And, you know, even like seeing, it was the first time I saw a line that said VIP somewhere. And I'm like, well, what does VIP stand for? And like, just know that what hospitality was too, or, you know, I think that Los Angeles, I mean, Las Vegas, people who work in the hospitality here really know hospitality and that's their career. And I respect that so much because it's very rare to find that in other big cities.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of metropolitan cities, people who work in the industry of service are there just like, they're there until something else happens. And I think people in Vegas, this is their career and their passion. And you can see it. You can see the people that work here, this is their passion and what they really, really love.
Just hearing you and your team talk about cocktails in here,
yeah.
Obviously the way that your menu is focused, it sounds like you guys are really excited to be kind of educating people on this thing that is, you know, Mezcal specifically, which is really booming in the world of bars and spirits.
Yeah.
But in Las Vegas, even though we're on the cutting edge of hospitality and we have amazing bars here and amazing people working in them, I don't think it's really landed here yet, you know. So it seems like you guys have a huge opportunity to kind of be that place.
Yeah, for sure. I think the reason why Mezcal has taken off in the rest of the country is because the people behind the bar, because they feel so passionate about it. So I think that as long as your team is passionate, they'll just transfer that passion to the consumer, because no one else can do it but them. They're the ones who are there. And working with this team for the past 2 weeks and seeing how much they ask questions and how like they're really interested, you know, that's exactly what it's gonna be. And you know, it's Vegas, so I don't think people are coming here to get educated in Mezcal by any means, you know. Or some are. A lot may come just because they wanna learn. But I think also it's just being open to the idea that at the end of the day, for me, Mezcal is a very communal drink. It's a drink to be taken with friends, celebratory, to bring community together, to hang out with friends. So even if you leave here and you don't even know the difference between the both, as long as you left here having a good time with your friends and you drink and you feel closer to your friends, Mezcal has done its job of just bringing people together.
Yep.
Mama Rabbit opens now, but its grand opening is set for Mexican Independence Day weekend, September 13th. And 14th, and that also crosses into International Mezcal Week, September 11th through the 15th. So if you haven't visited Mama Rabbit by then, that would be a perfect week to sample some cocktails and get the full experience. Tonight also marks the reopening of Moneyline, the sports bar and sports book at Park MGM in the same area as Mama Rabbit. They've made some changes to the design there, really opened up the entrance and the betting area, and just improved the flow of the place. They're going to double or maybe even triple the food menu, the amount of items on the menu. It sounds like they're going to keep the really tasty burger and chicken sandwiches and other snacks that I love there and have talked about before on this show. They've added more TV screens and bigger screens. It just seems like Park MGM is zeroing in on becoming a more friendly destination for sports fans and for locals, too. A bit more food news. Vagabond is the name of the new bar and restaurant coming to the casino floor at Excalibur. It's a centrally located spot that's been vacant for a long time, since the Leonard Skinner-branded barbecue joint closed there in 2012. Vagabond will open in October and will feature, quote, an approachable menu of American fare, an extensive beverage and draft beer program, arcade games, live entertainment, and sports viewing throughout, unquote. There's that sports stuff again. That part is not at all surprising, considering Excalibur has become a parking favorite for Vegas Golden Knights games at T-Mobile Arena and is super close to Allegiant Stadium, which will host Raiders games and UNLV football starting 1 year from now. And then the giant Harley-Davidson cafe space at the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Harmon Avenue, which has been vacant since the fall of 2016, is going to get something new. According to Eater Vegas, they reported a new restaurant will be opening there soon. Tex-Mex and Tequila is the name, and it comes from the same operators that have two restaurants at the nearby Hawaiian Marketplace at the Strip. Gindi Capital, which is renovating the Showcase Mall, owns the land there, after purchasing it along with the Hawaiian Marketplace earlier this year. The Tex-Mex spot is reportedly planning to open in another 4 or 5 weeks. Quick show update. I just went back to see Cher at Park Theater Friday night. She's just as Cher-rific as ever. I thought I was catching one of the final shows of her classic Cher residency, but AEG Presents and Park MGM just this week added 6 more shows in February. Tickets for those go on sale Friday, and Cher has 3 more shows this week to close out her 2019 in Las Vegas. Jason Aldean is coming to Park Theater for 3 nights in December, 6th, 7th, and 8th, partnering with Live Nation. Tickets are already on sale for those shows and probably selling very fast. Dwight Yoakam will make his debut at Wynn Las Vegas with 6 shows between December 4th and 14th, and then he'll return to Encore Theater for 3 more concerts in March. Tickets are already on sale there as well. And Marilyn Manson is coming for Halloween, one night only, October 31st, at the Pearl at the Palms. Again, tickets are already on sale. One more little tidbit. Victory Hill Exhibitions, which operates the Marvel Avengers Station and Hunger Games attractions on the Strip, has started to build what will eventually be the second largest curved LED screen display on the Strip at Treasure Island. It's this big digital billboard, 45 feet high, more than 175 feet long. It's going to be the sign for the Avengers Station exhibition at TI and whatever else they can sell to be up on that screen. The biggest sign on the Strip, of course, is at the Harmon Corner. No word on when this new one will be finished. My one big show this week is Lady Antebellum, closing out its mini residency at the Palms Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday at the Pearl Theater. I'm not a country music fan, but I really enjoyed this show. It's very well suited to the Pearl, and this group really knows how to connect with its fans, and they just play catchy music. Maybe the Palms will bring them back, who knows. If that's not your bag, check out my Best Bets column with plenty of weekend entertainment suggestions every Friday at LasVegasSun.com. That is going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts so you don't miss a single episode, and feel free to tap some stars or write a review so I can get noticed a little bit more. And fall is coming up fast, which means the amazing sports crew at the Las Vegas Sun is resuming its set of sports podcasts. I'm talking about the Rebel Room, Prep Sports Now, and the Vegas Golden Podcast. You can find all of these at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week.